former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line, part of the Sunday pregame power up here on the DraftKings Network. Airs every Sunday, 8 a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern time on the DraftKings Network all throughout the NFL season. 5 hours of pregame festivities leading up to kickoff 1 o'clock Eastern time with this Week 13 NFL slate. You can check us out on Roku, Samsung TV Plus, and Zumo Play. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino. Michael Lombardi in the great state of New Jersey. And before we get back to the NFL and the NFC title rematch, we do have the Johnny Avello Power Ratings. Johnny Avello, sportsbook director at DraftKings, as we're 1 hour away from the College Football Playoff Selection Committee show, where we will find out who the top four teams are in the playoff this year. And Johnny's power ratings are very, very interesting, Michael. His top four, as it stands right now, Michigan 1, Alabama 2, Georgia 3, Oregon number 4. What is your reaction to that?
Well, I think he's right about the first three. I don't think there's any question. I think the fact that Oregon lost twice eliminates them. That doesn't make them the power rankings wrong. It just makes that, you know, you can't put a team with two losses in there. I think it should be something to add into the discussion. You know, I think this gives you a perspective of how these teams fare based on level of comp, based on the book. I think it's just another way to kind of layer in instead of using the eye exam or the perception exam. And I think to me, you know, those three teams, and then you have to put, you know, Washington's, he has them power ranked below Texas, which again, I don't think you can do that to Washington. I do think the reason Washington is lower is because they've played in so many close games. And, you know, and against some teams that perhaps, you know, Johnny doesn't have as power ranked as high. So I think, to me, I agree. I think Michigan belongs there. I think Georgia belongs. I think Alabama belongs. Now, you want to argue Texas and Washington? I would lean towards Washington because I'm not a believer that the Big 12 is this incredible conference this season. You know, it is in basketball. I don't think it is in football this year. So, and Texas won, and they deserve to be undefeated. They deserve to be in the conversation. But I think if you're going to ask me, would Texas beat Georgia? I don't think so. Would Texas beat Alabama again? I definitely don't think so. And I think Washington being undefeated should be the fourth team. But, you know, it's not going to go to chalk. And I think the way the odds are set up, the way the DraftKings odds are set up in terms of making it, no one believes Georgia's going to get in.
Oh, yeah. I don't think anybody believes it right now. Georgia is minus 4,000 to miss and 12-1 to make. But you just said, and I want to kind of speak for the Texas fan here, because I'm sure a Texas fan is watching. You said that you don't think that Texas would beat Alabama. They're sitting at home saying, what is this guy talking about? They beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa earlier this year. Do you don't think you haven't seen the progression from Texas since that data point? You've just seen it from Alabama. Is that kind of where you stand here? Because like we did play this game and Texas
I don't think
won
that's
by 10.
Case. No, I mean I saw Texas struggle to beat Kansas State.
Yeah,
you know, I mean I saw Oklahoma beat them in the Red River. I think to me, you know, tell me what team you think in the Big 12 is it was a formidable opponent for him. I'll wait for your reply.
I mean,
I think that all teams in September, the September win is great. You know, I think they deserve it. They won by 10. I think Milrow was horrendous that day. Now, I think he's a lot better today. But tell me what Big 12 school that Texas played that you think was great. Iowa State? I mean, they beat TCU. TCU got beat by Colorado. Right? I mean, BYU had a down year. The Houston game was back and forth. I mean, come on. Baylor, they're not even, I mean, Baylor's not very good. I mean, what game, tell me a game that you say, you look at that card, you say, man, that was a signature win. That they just beat a really good team. I think it's Kansas State and the kid missed an extra point. Well, or else that's a game they lose. That's a game they lose. If that kid makes the extra point, we're not even in this conversation.
Yeah, but the signature game for Texas is going to Tuscaloosa and being the SEC champion. Like, that's the signature.
September 9th, Femi. Every team gets better. There's no team, you know, there's no team that's not getting better, right? I get it. To me, I get it. They're in the conversation. It was September the 9th. I mean, the next week, Alabama struggled like hell to beat South Florida in Tampa. Now, what do you think Alabama would beat South Florida by today? I mean, they're just different teams. That's why you play all the wear and tear of the season, the improvement of the season. It has to go into the factor. I mean, they just beat a team that was undefeated and had a 10-point lead on them late in the fourth quarter and didn't get the ball back when they had a chance. Those are impressive things to do. Now, look, I'll say this to the Texas fan. You're right. If Milroe doesn't make that throw in the back end zone on 4th and 31, we're not having this conversation either.
I get the improvement has to matter, but I think the spirit of competition has to matter as well. And the fact that we saw the teams play, I mean, I get it, it's September, but September still counts just as much as December counts, at least from my vantage point here. I want to give the rest of Johnny's power ratings because we mentioned Washington. He has Washington 8 right now. They're going to get in. Like, that's not a debate. Like, they're 13-0. But just to get, that's why when everyone was asking Friday night, how was Oregon a 10-point favorite against Washington? You're seeing why right now Washington, because of some of their struggles over the final 5 weeks of the regular season, power rated a little bit lower than public perception. Florida State, though, which is the other unbeaten Power 5 team, Michael, 12th in Johnny Avello's power ratings. They're behind Penn State, Oklahoma, who beat Texas in Red River, and they're behind Notre Dame, who's at 11. So Florida State is
12th. You all you need to know about the ACC, right? Tells you all you need to know about the ACC. And Florida State beat LSU.
They did.
I mean, Florida State beat LSU. So, you know, and, you know, look, when you look at these teams, you got to say, okay, you know, Texas is the 13th ranked defense in the country. Great. Those numbers look great. But who have they played offensively that you say, wow, that's really a challenge? I wouldn't say Alabama in week two was an offensive challenge because of where they were offensively and how they called the game and what they were running. And I think the same thing about, you know, Florida State. Look, Florida State's a great story, but the ACC was Clemson's down. That Clemson win really was down. Who else? Duke was beating people early in the season. And when Riley Leonard got hurt, that's when things started to end. I mean, the problem with college football is the same thing with the problem with the draft is you have to quantify level of comp.
Yeah, and sometimes we get into these debates, and I think they're fascinating. Once again, we're an hour away from the CFP selection committee announcing the top four teams. We'll find out who it is. There's obviously going to be angry people regardless what they choose. There might not be a right answer. There might not be a wrong answer, but I think it's going to be fascinating to see how it unfolds, though. But those are Johnny Avello, the sportsbook director at DraftKings, his power ratings. Michigan 1, Bama 2, Georgia 3, Oregon 4, even though the Ducks are out. And he has Ohio State 5, by the way. But they're out of it. Nobody's talking about Ohio State.
Yeah, I could see that.
They're not getting it.
I mean, I know they're not getting in. I'm relieved to know that. But I also think that, you know, they are, you know, that they have, that for some reason, the Big Ten is really good in that, you know, they have this kind of, you know, they have this perception of being great, right? You know, and so they do, you know, I think that's kind of what happens.
Well, let's turn our attention to the NFL. We'll go back to the NFL here, Michael, because we do have a big game in this one that could have some NFC home field advantage implications, NFC East implications, all that stuff is in line. It's the NFC title rematch, Niners at the Eagles. And as of this morning, seems to be a little bit more interest in Philadelphia. Those threes, no longer -110, I should say. Now it's even money if you want to go ahead and back the San Francisco 49ers. Total is at 46.5. I can't find a single person to take the three this week, Michael. Is that right? Are we all disrespecting the Eagles?
It's unbelievable. I don't understand it. Like I would hate to have a 49er ticket with three, knowing everybody's on your side. Like, when does that ever work in your favor? Like, when does that ever work in your favor? And if you are holding that ticket, what you're saying is that Philly will be exhausted and they won't have enough energy to go. Now, also what you're saying is Philly's defense is not playing very well, which is true. They can't cover anybody. They have a hard time. They're bad on third down. If that defensive front doesn't get there, it's a problem for them. They can't play man-to-man on the outside or on the inside. And the 49ers have five skilled players that can get open against anybody. Now, we don't know what the weather it's going to be. Maybe the rain will have stopped. It's not cold at all. You know, the field should be fine, and so the track will be perfect. But to me, what you're hoping for is this Philly defense plays better than they have in the last 3 weeks. And you're hoping for that Philly doesn't get behind. You get behind San Francisco, it's a completely different story than getting behind Buffalo. Because I can promise you, if San Francisco's got that lead in the third quarter, they're not going to go through the game with their best players not getting a sack or a hurry like Buffalo did. Von Miller wasn't even on the stat sheet, right? I mean, their two sacks last week came from Linville Elliott and another defensive tackle. I mean, so, you know, there's just no way that this 49er front, Hargrave and all those guys inside are going to be able to do it. Tim Settle was the other guy that got the sack for Buffalo. So, you know, there's no way. This is a game where it's really important San Francisco plays from in front, because then it puts pressure on Hurts, and it puts pressure on him in a drop back pass game, and it puts pressure on him and to block this front. And I think what you'll see today with San Francisco is a lot of five-man pressures, so they force the offensive line so where they can't help anybody. I don't think Dallas Goedert's going to play, so they got to be able to hold up on the outside against A.J. Brown and Waddle and take their chances. And I think that's why you're playing the three, because you like the matchup.
Well, Michael, I can report now that DraftKings just went to 2.5 in this market. Yeah. So interest is coming.
I kept writing it in my notes. When does the buyback on Philly happen?
Morning. That's when it happens. Get this. Philly is the first team since at least 1970 that holds a 10-1 record or better, has a healthy starting quarterback, and is being a home underdog. We'll talk more about this. I want to talk about the trenches when we come back here on the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for a betting edge this college bowl season, the VSiN experts have you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving for every game, and our college bowl betting guide where you get picks for every bowl game. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99 and become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSIN/subscribe. This is the Lombardi Line, and it's week 13 on a Sunday here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. And Michael, we were talking about this Niners-Eagles game in the last segment, and I wanted to ask you about this. Jalen Carter, the rookie defensive tackle star for the Philadelphia Eagles, was being asked about this San Francisco offense, and the reporters were saying, hey, like, how do you guys stop them? They have McCaffrey and Debo and Kittle and Ayuk and all these guys, like all these weapons. And he said, quote, they got a lot of weapons on the outside, but I'm in the trenches. I ain't heard nothing about the O-line. How do you see this O-line trenches battle playing out earlier or later, I should say, today at the link?
Well, I mean, I think he's right, right? I mean, that's the one thing that this Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan, Sean McVay, all these guys, Mike McDaniel, they all kind of go through it. They invest in linemen, but they develop linemen more than anything. And their whole scheme is predicated on play action pass. They're not a drop back pass team. It's why Kyle Shanahan is 0-38 going into the fourth quarter when he trails by 7 or more. So there's the reason why that happens, is because the way they build the offensive line, they build it with smaller athletic guys. Now, Trent Williams, a different story, the left tackle. But for the most part, they want a gap. They don't want to run gap schemes. They're on zone schemes. They're trying to get a half a man advantage. They're trying to get to the second level. They value more to get to the second level than the first, and they do it really well. And the tight end can get control of the line of scrimmage. But what he's saying is, if we force them to a drop back pass game, we'll win. It's hard to do, though. It's hard to do. They keep you off balance. They have every play action pass off of every single run action that they have. And this game will be a lot about the first quarter, right? If you are the Eagles, you're watching the first quarter, you want to see what formations Kyle comes up with, what personnel groupings he puts you in, and what he sees as the vulnerability in your team. Go back to yesterday, right? We saw the Georgia offense gain 85 yards on the opening play of the game, right? They did a lot of try to clear out and replace a player in a man coverage so that they had it. Once they scored and the Alabama defense kind of got, okay, here's how we're going to do this. Other than the long pass for 51 yards, they pretty much held Georgia's offense in check. They took away what the game plan was. This is a game like that. The first quarter is always about what are we doing, how are we going to handle it, what adjustments do we need to make, what is Kyle's game plan? And Kyle's game plan is always going to be to hide his offensive line. Same thing with McDaniels. And that's what Carter's talking about. And so what you have to do is offensively, you got to try to force them into a different kind of game.
You mentioned that Georgia game from yesterday. Did want to report this line movement from DraftKings. And shout out to our buddy Will Hill, who texted both of us here, Michael, watching the show. What's up, Will? Hope you're doing well out there. And there's been big line movement in the make the playoff odds. Alabama now -115 on the yes to make the playoffs. So it's -115 each way for Bama. Florida State has come down from -400 on the yes to -150, the no +125. So somebody out there betting, maybe they know what the committee is about to do. I mean, we're about less than an hour away from the announcement, but somebody out there betting is pretty confident that Bama will make it along with Texas, and Florida State will be the first 13-0 Power 5 team to be left out of the playoff. Just wanted to report that along, pass that along to our listeners here.
Well, I think this, Femi, I think that the basically, if Alabama doesn't make it, you're saying to America that the Southeast Conference has no real, you know, the champion of the Southeast Conference, because we don't have a we don't have a champion, then we play a championship game. It's determined by the, you know, the East versus the West, right?
Yep.
And so I think that to me lends itself up. They're the best team in the best conference. They need to get in.
Well, I mean, the betting market thinks that they have a much better chance of getting in than when we had this conversation 20 minutes ago. And just to report this one, Texas -750 on the yes. So it sounds like we're going to get Bama, Texas, or at least that's what the betting market thinks. I mean, we'll see what happens once the committee goes ahead and unveils it. But let's get back to the
NFL. Florida State's going to be out, right? It's going to be Texas and Georgia's out.
Yeah, that's what the betting market thinks. Georgia's out, Florida State's out, Bama, Texas.
Are they going to make us wait a whole half hour before they tell us?
Of course, you know the answer to that. That's a TV show. We got to tease it. We got to deep tease it.
I would rather, you know what? These are the kind of things. Just show me what the results are. I have no interest in listening to it. I mean, the worldwide leader actually put somebody on their program. I won't mention his name, that actually thinks Oregon and Washington should both be in the Final Four. Like, are you serious? And they're paying you for this? Like, are you serious? What are we doing here? Like, I love Oregon's team. I think Oregon's a really good team. They blew it. They had a chance to come back and offset a loss. They didn't do it. They're a 10-point favorite. But now you want to put them back in? I mean, what do we want to do? Everybody's going to go to Dairy Queen after the game? We're going to take 12 teams in here? Seriously.
Well, next year we will. Everyone's going to Dairy Queen next year. But I think it's funny. It's like people are like, oh, like these teams deserve to be in the playoff. They played a playoff game. It was Friday night. It was winning in. They already played it. Like we're good. We're good on that. And I say that as somebody that wanted to see Oregon make it just because it might have been good for my financials with the Bo Nix ticket. But hey, that's here nor there. Let's get back to Sunday Night Football, though, because the Kansas City Chiefs, they're in Green Bay taking on the Packers. And right now the line is sitting at 6 here for a game that I have a bet on. I took the 7 last Sunday when it opened. 6, I still like it at that number. Total sitting at 43. How do you see this one playing out? Packers been playing a little bit better, and maybe Kansas City found something offensively a week ago.
Well, I mean, I think, look, Kansas City played against a very soft coverage of the Raiders. I mean, look, they cut Marcus Peters, right? I mean, they have no corners at the Raiders. The Raiders play a lot of zone, and they took advantage of that. They spotted them a 14-point lead and outscored them 31-3. So, you know, and they did it with throwing the football. I mean, 291 yards passing was the best game Mahomes has had since you go back when they beat the Chargers at home. So they did make some progress, and Rashee Rice was good. They were able to get him the football. They executed very well on third down, which was critical, right? You know, but this team still, and they didn't turn the ball over. That was, to me, the biggest part, right? On this where they have not played well is 5 turnovers against Denver. He had the flu. You know, 2 turnovers against Philadelphia cost them. A drop pass cost them. Dropped too many passes. I think now they're playing Green Bay with a little bit of more of, okay, we know who we are. We kind of have a sense of it. And Green Bay's secondary has been notorious for not being able to cover very well, right? And they don't give up many yards, but it seems like, you know, now Jay Alexander's supposedly going to play. And last week, Detroit had ample opportunity to win that game. And so did the Chargers. Remember, the Chargers it's a chance to win the game late, and the Chargers can't get it back into it, right? They can't kick the field goal to win the game. So I know they've won three of the last four, and the Pittsburgh win probably was their best win because they were able to win, you know, in Pittsburgh and do some damage there. But one of the things that has happened is Love has thrown the ball with more accuracy. He has not been accurate for most of the season, and they've been able to turn the ball over with their defense. I think that's been the key. Tonight against a really good man coverage team and a team that can put pressure. This Packer team can pass protect. But what's got to happen is Love, who is at 18% in bad throws, can't have those bad throws. He's got 21 drops and 18% in bad throws. That's why they're so inconsistent with their offense. And his on-target percentage is right around 75. So he's got to play really well today. And I think Kansas City will play well. I think Kansas City's defense is getting a little disrespected here.
So Love has obviously played better, as you stated here, but do you think a lot of that is due to the level of competition that he's faced, or does Big Daddy have himself a quarterback here?
Well, I think we're going to find out tonight. I think that's a really good question, right? I think, you know, when you beat the Lions and you throw for 268, okay. You know, you beat the Chargers and you throw for 295, okay. Pittsburgh, he throws for 283, come from behind win. You know, Pittsburgh's got ample opportunity. They couldn't do anything offensively. They ran for 205 yards. You know, how good is the Packers' run defense? Think about this, Femi. Against Pittsburgh, they give up 205, right? Against the Chargers, they give up 150. Against the Lions, they give up 140. And the Lions are playing from behind most of the game. So one thing we do know about Kansas City, they can run the ball. I mean, Pacheco will bang it in there, and Andy Hill will call more runs. This, to me, is a true test of where they are with Love. Because next week they got the Giants, then they got Tampa, they got Carolina, they got to go to Minnesota, and then they have Chicago. Like, this is one where even if they lose, they're still in this thing because they could rack off five more wins and be up 10-7.
Yeah, it's – I mean – 3 weeks ago, you'd have laughed anybody out of the room if they said Packers could be in the playoffs. But based on what the other teams that are vying for that seven seed have done, I hope Big Daddy's ready for January football. That's all I'll say. I hope he's ready.
I don't get him today. He's out. I don't know what he's going to do.
I'm sure he'll text you, though. You'll get those thoughts. All right. We'll get to the best of the rest from around the league on the other side. This is Lombardi Live.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, Week 13 Sunday in the NFL. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Femi Abebefe, I'm hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. The actives and inactives should be coming out shortly from across the league, these early slate games. So let's continue to break down some of the games that you like, Michael, here, starting with one in the afternoon. Cleveland, the Browns, are in Los Angeles to take on the Rams. Right now, looking at the market, Cleveland's a 3.5-point dog. The total is at 40. Joe Flacco will be making the start here for the Cleveland Browns as Dorian Thompson-Robinson is in the concussion protocol, as you're shaking your head when you hear Flacco.
Well, you know what, Josh? I mean, like, they actually, people are, well, I'm not betting Joe Flacco. Well, you wouldn't be betting it. I mean, who are you betting if you're betting the Browns? You're betting the Browns defense. You're betting the matchup, okay? To me, this is pretty clear. When you watch the Rams play, they have to run the football to be effective, right? Stafford's not the same player. You know, has a hard time in the second half. It's been documented. Doesn't cover second half. Can't hold the lead. You know, got him back against Seattle barely. Seattle had a chance to win that game. They didn't. Last week against Arizona, they ran for 228. But when you watch them play against a team that can play run defense and are physical, Pittsburgh, you know, they have a hard time. And to me, this is a play for me at 4. Now, there's some 3.5s out there. I still would take it at 3.5. That Cleveland is going to be able to push them around. and be physical up front. It may not happen in the first quarter. I'm sure Sean McVay is going to come out with a good drive to start the game. But as the game wears on and the physicality of the Cleveland defense starts to take shape, right, I think the game kind of goes. And all they're looking to from Flacco is to not screw the game up, right? They just don't want Flacco to go in there, and they're not going to put him in a position to throw it 15 times. I mean, last week, the reason they lost is they turned the ball over three times against Denver. Right, they hold Pittsburgh to 10 points. Not that Pittsburgh's a great offense. Pittsburgh couldn't do anything. You know, they go into Baltimore. Baltimore had to make plays on the ground. Baltimore's run game you can't duplicate, so it's very challenging. And I think when you look at what they do defensively, it really is a tough matchup for the Rams. It's a tough matchup. And then factor in the defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz, against the Kyle Shanahan approach offensively, which is what Sean McVay runs. And as I said back in, I think it was week 7, when the Browns were playing them in Cleveland, I said, this is a hard matchup for Shanahan because he takes away what Shanahan wants to do. You can't run boots on him. You can't run the ball on the Cleveland defense. So the game has to be a pocket passing game. And the way these corners cover for Cleveland, you know, Cooper Kupp, you know, is going to have a hard time separating, and they're going to have a hard time protecting. And Myles Garrett says he's healthy. Look, do I think the Rams win? Sure, I think they can win. I think it's a field goal game is really what I do.
I 100% agree with you. And this, it's not necessarily one-to-one, but it sort of reminds me of the Rams game from earlier this season when they hosted Pittsburgh. And we talked about over the course of the game, like once we get into the third, fourth quarter, that physicality is going to wear on this Rams front there. And that's when you can get Stafford to start to make some of those mistakes there. So anything north of a field goal, I think, is a play there. Even at 3.5, it's Cleveland or pass for me. I would bet Cleveland. I did bet Cleveland earlier in the week there. So I got the Browns with you. So we're riding together with the Browns and the Rams. Yeah. All right, let's get to Pittsburgh.
How about this number? How about this, though? How about before we move on to this, dogs in low total games this year, right? Games under 42, the total of under 42. And I think this game here is at 40, okay? And it hasn't moved. That's ticked down a little bit. There's some 39.5s. They're 117, they're 173 and 119 and 6, 59.2% since 2016. And they're 36-25-2 this year. So you take a dog in a low-scoring game, you have a really good chance of covering that number. New England, Arizona would be in that case, the Jets, Carolina, Cleveland, and Cincinnati. I was determined to take dogs this week, Femi, and to me, this was one of the dogs I really liked.
Yeah, I mean, when the points are at a premium, you want to go ahead and grab those points, typically is the case. In Western PA, the Steelers, 6.5-point favorites against the Cardinals, total sitting at 41. What do you think is, Kyler Murray, it's been hit or miss so far since his return, but wow. The Pittsburgh offense kind of came to life last week.
It did. It gained over 400 yards, but Pittsburgh's offense, when they can run the ball, they're a different team. And this Arizona defense can't stop the run. They just cannot stop the run at all. The last 3 weeks, they've given up 174 yards on the ground, you know, and they have a hard time doing that. And I think Pittsburgh's ground game, their confidence is better. They can rush the passer. I think when you look at Murray this year, look, he's coming off the ACL, so he's not the same. His completion percentage is down is almost by a point. His touchdown percentages goes from 3.6 to 1.9. His success rate goes way down. Right. His yards per attempt is below 7. Right. He's higher in bad throws. His 5.6 yards per rush. Not the same. He's only run the ball 14 times in 3 games. 6 of those rushes have resulted in first downs. So when you look at this, and they've only scored 55 points in the last 3 games, now you're getting them outside less than ideal conditions against a team that's very good, very hard to run the ball on. And they're athletic enough to be able to chase him down if he tries to run around. I think this is a game where Pittsburgh kind of usually will wear you down and play well. I know I got it at 6 on the Russo contest. I wish I had it at 5.5. I really do. But I took it at 6 in Russo. I like it. It's 6.5 pretty much all over now.
Yeah, there's still some 6s out there as we encourage everyone to shop around. Where I'm sitting at Circa, there's a 6. DraftKings has a 6. So as always, shop around and go ahead and get the best number of whatever you like. If you like the Cardinals, take 6.5. And Michael, I like the Cardinals in this game.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people do. You got to take some dogs. I can see it, you know, but I think Pittsburgh is going because of the changes. I think Pittsburgh is a little bit, you know, they went out and beat Los Angeles out there for the same reasons why I like them here today. Going back to the, you know, going back to the Rams game, that line now has moved down to 3.5. And there's going to be, and if you like the Browns, you better take it now, because I think the 3.5s are going to go down to 3 pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm seeing some 3.5s that are even money if you're laying it with the Rams here, which indicates a lot of people have some interest on the Cleveland Browns. I think now that we've gotten to the game day, injury report looks good enough for Cleveland to where people can confidently place some wagers on the Brownies. The AFC South clash, I didn't know what to do with this game. I'm glad you have an opinion on it, because I was kind of stuck here. Colts 1-point favorites on the road against the Titans.
I'm saying on this game is when the Colts go outside, you know, and they now they don't have Jonathan Taylor and Zach Moss. I think it's hard to run the ball against a healthy Tennessee team, which they haven't always been healthy this year. So I think there lies it. The Colts, can Minshew play well enough on the road? I think that's the question I'm asking myself. Can they play well enough on the road and handle it? You know, and I think that's going to be the issue. Now, I worry about the inconsistencies within this offense, right? I worry about Will Levis making enough throws. Burks is back. I think that helps him stretch the field a little bit. But this is a play, I'm really saying in this play here, is I like Vrabel as a home dog, and I'm not in love with Minshew on the road. I'm just not. I know it'll be a low-scoring game, and that doesn't favor me here, because Minshew is 2-16 in games of the opponent scoring over 20 points. Last week was one of those games that he was able to win. But on the road, I think it's going to be hard. And I think he'll have a hard time, especially knowing how Vrabel wants to play, how Jacksonville played him down in Jacksonville, where they put pressure on him, forced him to throw the ball outside the numbers, and kept him in the pocket. I just like the matchup with Vrabel. I think this is an opportunity for the Titans, which they can run the football on this Colt defense, right? This Colt defense, since Cleveland in week 7, has allowed over 150 yards on average on the ground. And when Tennessee can run the ball, when Tennessee can run the ball with Henry, they're a completely different team. You know, last week against Tampa Bay, they could not run the football, and ultimately it cost them. They haven't had a 100-yard rushing day in the last 3 weeks. And the last time that they've had it was against Atlanta. They had 149. They won that game at home, and they had 105 against Pittsburgh on the road. So for me, I think they'll run the football, and when they run the ball to above 100 yards, it sets up everything else. They scored 28 points on Atlanta's defense, which is shocking that they did. I like them here. I think they'll win the game outright.
That's a big game here for the Colts, who are right now at 6-5. We talked about Denver and Houston. The Colts are right there at 6-5 as well in the AFC wildcard race. If they drop this one, obviously their chances of making the playoffs take a hit, to say the least here. Wanted to get to some of these key actives and inactives as we head to break here. We got about a minute left in the segment. For New Orleans, they get the good news. Olave, we knew he was going to play. Cam Jordan also active in this game, so they'll have Cam Jordan with the Saints. I have now, Michael, plugged my nose and placed a bet +4.5 with New Orleans. So, bless my heart. We'll see what happens. We said we got to take some ugly dogs this week. We're taking some ugly dogs. Also, other actives and inactives. Treylon Burks, like you mentioned, he is up. Tank Dell for the Texans, he is active. Dalvin Cook, Breece Hall for the Jets, those running backs both active. And then Keenan Allen for the Chargers active as well. We will see if there are any other big active and inactive news on the other side. But we'll run down the board to wrap up this edition of the Lombardi Line. Week 13, Sunday in the NFL is almost here. Don't go away. We'll wrap things up on the other side.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Tommy Abbafe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Juice Reel is a free betting intelligence app and a tool that every bettor needs. What it does for you is that it links your betting accounts into one app and delivers in-depth analytics on your betting history. Find out for yourself. Download Juice Reel, just like orange juice and Reel, R-E-E-L. Download the free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. It's free. Juice Reel, juice, R-E-E-L. Welcome back. It's the final segment of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Week 13 in the National Football League. Following us at the top of the hour, Brent Musburger's countdown to kickoff here on the DraftKings Network. So make sure you stick around for that. I'm sure Brent will be breaking down what happens with the CFP as the selection committee is about 30-ish minutes away from making their selections. He'll have Johnny Avello on as well. So Johnny, who gave us his power ratings once again, I'm sure we'll get Johnny's thoughts on it as the CFP makes that announcement.
Good, yeah. I mean, I'm sure Brent will have a lot of opinions that'll be well-founded. They should have Brent on the committee. I just think they need some different perspective on that committee in terms of how they handle, because what they're doing is handicapping, right? I mean, that's what they're doing is handicapping in that room in Indianapolis. Or no, down in Grapevine. They were Grapevine, in Indianapolis. Yeah. So since they're handicapping, why wouldn't you get professional handicappers in there?
They feel like they got enough ADs, and I think they have a couple former coaches on there as well on the committee. So, hey,
they do.
Yeah. So they think they got the crew to do it. So whether we agree or not, they're the ones that pick them, and we'll see what they choose in about 30, 45 minutes. They like to draw it out, so I'm sure it'll be more on 45 minute side. All right, Michael, we got 9 minutes to go. Let's run down the board week 13 style, starting in New England, where the Chargers are 4.5-point road favorites, total sitting at 39 here. What do you like with this game where it's a plug your nose special if you like New England?
Yeah, well, it is a plug. You know, if you like the Chargers, it's a plug. I mean, why would they not? You want to plug your nose on them either. I mean, look, Mac Jones is active, so he's not going to be the third quarterback. They dressed all three quarterbacks in the game, probably smart on their part. I like New England here. I liked it much better at 5.5. Today it's 4.5. I just think New England will play. They've been playing better. They're not a 2-9 looking team the way they play. They react offensively like a 2-9 team. I think the Keenan Allen's injury is why I'm leaning towards New England here, because Keenan has struggled against New England. They've done a good job of taking him out of the game, and it puts a lot of pressure on Herbert. Can they actually find some other receivers to make plays? Key to this game is going to be, if you want to in-game bet this, if New England gets the lead, I say go with New England and keep going. If they fall behind, then I say back away. But for me, as I look at this, I lean towards New England. I didn't have the courage to make it one of my ugly dogs, but I do like New England here.
Yeah, I'm not a totals player, but if I were, I think the under has to look pretty solid here. I know it's come down from 42.5 now at 39, I should say, but there might still be some value there at 39. Let's get to New Orleans, where I do have a play. The Lions now 4-point favorites on the road, total 47.5.
Well, that dipped. It was 4.5. And today, this morning when I woke up, it was 4.5, and it's dipped back down to 4, where it was most of the week. You know, I think in light of the injury news that came out, a lot of people are saying, look, New Orleans as a home dog at 4 points. You know, if Detroit wins, they'll win by 3. You know, Detroit's coming off an extended rest. I think that certainly helps them. Carr is, you know, will make throws from 20 to 20. No one seems to be betting New Orleans, but yet the line moved back to them. I'll take the 4 in New Orleans, hold my nose on this one, and watch Carr not score the ball in the end zone and curse myself at 3:30 for making that selection.
Yeah, man. Welcome to the team. I just made this bet about 15 minutes ago. I took 4.5 out there. Shop around. There's a couple 4.5 still available. But yeah, this to me, with Cam Jordan active, with Chris Olave active, I think this is a field goal game either way. Let's go to the Meadowlands, the Falcons, 2-point road favorites against Timmy Boyle, and the Jets, total sitting at 33.
You know, the weather's going to be a factor. It will rain. It will be windy. You know, the under, I think, is a strong play. I have a lean towards Atlanta, only a lean. My only was a lean towards New Orleans and New England so far, too. They're not official plays for me. I just think Atlanta will run the football. I just don't know where the Jets are going to be able to score points. Breece Hall is going to dress, although he's not been the same player. He's had some long runs, hasn't been the same player. This Jets offensive line is problematic. I think weather evens the game even more so. I think it's an underplay. I like Atlanta. I think they'll run the ball.
I think you had it right yesterday when you had this as a Hall & Oates special. That's my opinion on this game. Sit back and just watch it what happens.
Yeah, but I mean, we're on a show. We have to give advice here. That's why we do it.
Well, I'll let you give the advice on that one. Let's go to Pittsburgh. Cardinals at the Steelers. Right now, Steelers 6.5-point favorites, total 41.
I just think Pittsburgh, when they can run the ball, I think Pittsburgh has only had 3 turnovers since their bye. It's very reminiscent of what they did last year. And when they play against lesser opponents like Arizona, they usually play very well. Arizona will have a bye next week. latest buy of the year. I think they're kind of almost like, okay, Jonathan Gannon has struggled to play defense all year. When Pittsburgh runs it, I think they're a better team. I think Pittsburgh can turn the ball over. It's going to be a bad weather game. I like Pittsburgh. I'll lay the points. I had it as an official play on Russo at 6.
There you go. We're going oppo. I took the 6.5 here. I'm going to make the Pittsburgh Steelers offense prove it to me one more week. Let's last week was good. Prove it again. Let's see if you're really have made those improvements now that Matt Canada has been dismissed. In Tampa, the Buccaneers, 3-point favorites. Now we've gone from 3.5 to 3, total 36.5 against the Panthers.
We've gone from 5.5 to 3. We've moved 2.5 points in a week and two really in 48 hours. Because this week it was. The reason for this movement has nothing to do with the hiring of Chris Tabor as the new head coach of the Panthers or that Thomas Brown is now going to call the plays. It has everything to do with the injury list on the Tampa Bay Bucks. Plus, we're not sure Baker Mayfield's ankle's healthy, too. I think this line could be moving in that direction because of that. Not a lot of money has come in on Tampa all week. I have a hard time believing that Carolina's just all of a sudden going to turn it on. I'll take the ugly dog. I think Tampa is on a six. They've lost 6 of the last 7 games. They won last week, you know, in a game that I felt like they probably shouldn't have won. They couldn't have won, but they lost last week. I thought they were going to play better in that game, but their offense, because of the injuries, just stalled, and their defense stalled because of the injuries. So I'll play against them this week. I'll take the Panthers and the points.
Panthers also welcoming back J.C. Horn and Jeremy Chin to that secondary as well. Colts at the Titans. Indianapolis, 1-point favorite, total 42.
I'm going to take the home dog as an official play. I took it on Russo. I like Tennessee at home. I think Levis getting Burks back certainly can help. I think the fact that Henry can maybe run the football in this game. Look, I think Tennessee is a tough, competitive team. Not that Indianapolis isn't. But without Taylor and the burden on Minshew, I think it's a little harder. I'll take Tennessee here, lay the point, and take the point.
To our nation's capital, the Commanders, 9-point home underdogs against the Dolphins, total 49.5.
You know, I mean, everything in my power wants to take Miami because everybody's on Washington. I hate being on the public. I hate being on everybody's side. I don't have an official play in this game, but the weather worries me taking Miami. I just think Washington will turn this ball over against a good defense. I'll lay the 8.5 and take Miami.
Yeah, the Dolphin defense, I think, is probably the under-analyzed side of this game here. I would lean Miami as well. Broncos at the Texans. Texans 3-point favorites, total 47.5.
You know, I'm going to take Denver here because they play close games. I think their luck could run out in terms of the winning luck, but I'm going to get 3 points here in a very tight game. The way Houston has played, I think Sean Payton will manage the game. He will not let Russell Wilson kind of force the game or force the action. I think it'll be a close game. Stroud has played well. No Dalton Schultz, which I think is critical. Yep. He's out with a hamstring today. I'll take Denver and take the 3 as a dog.
Yeah, no Dalton Schultz for Houston, but Tank Dell, the rookie receiver, he is active. No bet for me. I'll just be rooting for the Broncos with my Broncos to make the playoffs bet at plus 525. To the link, the Eagles, now 3-point dogs, total 46.5. DraftKings has 2.5, but 3 is the consensus number in the market.
If you give me 3, I'll take Philly, just because I think you got to take the home dog and 3 points. The lines move way too much. And I know Philly's not always going to be, you're worried about them being fresh and healthy in the fourth quarter. Weather will be a factor. But I think 3 points is, you know, we're going to know early enough in this game. But I'll take the home dog at 3 with Philly as a lean.
Let's go to the Hollywood where the Browns are 3.5-point dogs. Total 40 against the Los Angeles Rams.
I like Cleveland here a lot. I'm not playing Flacco. I'm playing Jim Schwartz against Sean McVay. I'm playing the defense against the offense. I think they can run the football on the Rams. I think the Rams, the longer the season goes, coming off of 2 games, they tend to wear down. I'll take the Brownies in the 3.5 as an official play. Took it in Russo on Friday.
Here we go. Brownies, I'm right along with you. Took the points with the Browns. Anything north of a field goal, I think, is a good bet. Sunday Night Football, Packers, 6-point home dogs against the Chiefs, total 43.
I'm gonna take the Chiefs here. I like the Chiefs. I think the Packers are a little bit of misleading in terms of what they did offensively. No Aaron Jones, Dylan's beat up. They're not going to be able to run the ball. I think the Chiefs on in this game will throw the football effectively on Green Bay. I'm going to go with Andy Reid against Mike Barry and win that one. I think they win by a touchdown.
All right. I took the points with the Packers. We'll see what happens later on tonight. Michael, good luck with the picks. Have fun watching the games. Brent Musburger's countdown to kickoff is coming up next here on the DraftKings Network.